Good morning, Middle School Ministry. It's good to see you guys this morning. Great singing this morning. Just want to compliment your singing. It was awesome. Cool to hear you guys' voices. And I love that we get to be together opening the Bible. So I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and we'll make sure you get a copy so that you can follow along. We're going to look at Luke chapter 11. It's the last Sunday today of 2025. I know. Some of you haven't looked at a calendar in a while because you haven't been in school, but today is the last Sunday of 2025. And I think there's something special about it being like the last few days of a year. It's just kind of the end of a season. It's the end of a year. And when that happens, you can kind of look back and think about all the things that have happened, the good things that have happened this year, and maybe some of the hard things that have happened in your life. And it's also a time, as we come to the end of the year, to look forward to the year ahead. And maybe for you, you know that 2026 is actually going to look a little bit different for you, or maybe a lot different. You might know it's the year that you are finally going to get your braces off that you've had on. Or maybe you know that it's the year you're going to have to get braces on for the first time, and you won't be able to eat corn on the cob and apples for a while. Or maybe you know that 2026 is the year where your older brother or sister is going to go to college, and you're going to finally get your own room. You don't have to share a room anymore. 2026 might look a little bit different for you. If you're in eighth grade, you know that you're about to go into high school. You'll officially be a high schooler this next year. Some of you, no matter who you are, I guess it could be a year of a lot of change or a lot of new. And like I said, there's something about the end of a year for us to think about the past, what's behind us, think back and remember what's happened, but also a time for us to think ahead, to think forward to what is in store. And that's why around this time of year, you hear people coming up with like a bunch of different New Year's resolutions every year. You've probably heard of people that have done that. Have any of you ever done a New Year's resolution? Probably not yet. Maybe a few of you. Yeah. It's a time for you to think about some of the things that you might want to change in your life or some things you want to be different this coming year. And so I think it's actually a good opportunity for us today as we start a brand new year for us to think about where we are spiritually, for us to think about what direction we're heading and what direction we're going in as we think about this year of life that God is giving us ahead. We have a great opportunity to think about if we're on the right path, to think about if you're headed in the right direction spiritually this year. And one of those areas spiritually that we could talk about, and I think that could be even helpful for us to talk about this morning, is prayer. One of the areas of life that, as a Christian, is so important. And I think one of those areas I wish I could go back and talk to myself when I was in middle school, when I was your age as a Christian. What is prayer all about? What does my prayer life look like? Am I praying as much as I should be? The answer to that was definitely no. And I think most Christians could say prayer is something that doesn't always come super easy and one of those things that we need some encouragement in. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, hopefully, as we head into a new year, for you to think about praying, to think about being a teenager, a middle schooler who prays. When we think about prayer, it's really, really incredible. If you just think about it for a minute, prayer is communicating with God. God hears you as you depend on Him from your heart. We know that God has already spoken to us in the Bible, but we have an opportunity to speak to God, for Him to hear us through prayer. And I hope as you think about this new year ahead, that prayer is part of what you're thinking about, that it's a priority in your life, that you're talking to God in prayer. And here in Luke chapter 11, we come across one of those amazing truths about God that's meant to affect the way we live. And that's that God wants you to communicate with him in prayer. God wants you to be a person who prays. And here in this section of teaching from Jesus, we learn the truth that God is someone who wants you to communicate with him. He wants to be sought out in prayer. And not only can God be reached in prayer, God wants you to reach him in prayer. He wants to hear your prayer as a Christian. It's amazing to think that God's not only holy and awesome and immeasurable, he's the creator of the entire universe, but at the same time, God is also somebody who loves to hear from you. He loves to be known and to have you communicating with him. God wants to have a personal relationship with you where you are communicating with him, where you're hearing from him, and where you're speaking to him. And that's what Jesus talks about here as some of his disciples ask him about what it looks like to be a person who prays. And Jesus was a good person to ask. Jesus was consumed with prayer throughout his life and his ministry. And we can see here as we look at these verses that Jesus' disciples, the Christians there, were so impressed with how Jesus prayed that they asked him, what does it look like to pray? Teach us to pray. And so as we head into a new year this year, I want you to think about and maybe to be challenged by and hopefully encouraged by how you can pray, a pattern for you to pray this year, and even just encouragement from God for you to pray, that you're not too young to be somebody who prays. A big idea for you this morning, I don't have it on the screen, but it's that in this year ahead, God wants you to come to him in prayer. In this year ahead, God wants you to come to him in prayer. He desires that you would call out to him in prayer, and he even gives us here sort of an instruction manual for how we can do just that. Let's read from Luke 11, starting in verse 1 this morning. It says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus here gives us some teaching on prayer in these few verses. And I think they're helpful verses for you to think about as you think about what you should be doing, what you want your life to look like this coming year. I think it should involve prayer. And first here, we notice that Jesus gives us a pattern to pray. Jesus gives us a pattern for prayer. We see that in verses 1 through 4, where he describes and teaches them what it looks like to be somebody who prays. And I'm so glad that when they ask this, Jesus doesn't give us a response like, you know, God's not really interested in all of the details about your life. Jesus doesn't say, God's doing a lot of important stuff. He's got a lot of big stuff like keeping the universe running, going on, and he doesn't have time for you. I'm glad he doesn't say, okay, I'll teach you, but it's going to be really hard to get God's attention. No, Jesus really describes it as a really simple thing in just a few words there. He says, when you pray, verse 2, say, Father, hallowed be your name. That's amazing to think about, having access to God like our Father. Jesus says, if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you can start by simply talking to God by calling him Father. Father, hallowed be your name. There's no long warm-up time, but it's just a prayer that he says right off the bat, Father. And when we think of someone who's a father, we think of somebody who you can have a good relationship with, somebody who you can know really well and who knows you really well. Some that we can have close and loving access to because of our relationship with him. Someone we can call dad, or who can call you daughter or son. A father is also somebody who's designed to have authority in your life, and somebody that we need to respect and obey. And Jesus is saying, if you're a Christian, that's the relationship you can have with God, with the creator of this whole world, with the one who's hard to even begin to wrap our minds around because he is so awesome and immense. At the same time, you can call him your Father, plain and simple. Access and closeness and loving respect for this person who has authority in your life. Jesus also says that we pray that his name would be hallowed. And that just means that we're honoring God's name as holy. There's a closeness and a nearness to God that we call him our Father, but there's also a deep respect that you have for God when you pray to him. We know that God is in heaven. He's holy. He's without sin. He's worthy of all of our worship and praise. He's highly exalted. He deserves our total respect. So here there's both a loving closeness to God and also a deep reverence and respect for God. And Jesus also says that the believer prays there in verse 2, your kingdom come. That means a Christian is focused on God's kingdom. They believe and follow Jesus as their king. They know Jesus as the king. They want people to honor and bow to the King Jesus. They want everyone to be part of God's kingdom. They want unbelievers to be saved and to worship Jesus as king like they do. And they look forward to a day when Jesus is going to be on the throne forever and ever in glory, and we're going to worship him in his kingdom without sin. A Christian has our heart focused on that, on God's kingdom. They want God's will to be done, and they want God's kingdom to come. And all of this prayer so far we could describe in verse 2 as worshiping God, to have an upward focus on God when you pray. But then there's also in this pattern, in verses 3 and 4, a focus kind of on the things here on earth too. The pattern turns to asking for daily bread and for forgiveness there you see in verse 4. It also comes to asking God for protection from evil and from temptation. And those are all ways to describe how God gives us what we need, and that God wants us to seek him for even those practical things. We worship God and we have a relationship with him, but we also come to him in total dependence as Christians. We depend on him for daily bread. That means depending on him for the food that he provides and for just the everyday things that we need in this world. We depend on him for those things. We also depend on him for spiritual things, for his help, for his word, for the people around us. We depend on God for his daily bread that he gives. And then Jesus also reminds us there that we, as Christians, ask God for forgiveness when we sin. I think that's really important and really amazing to think about. You know that if you're a Christian, you've been forgiven from all of your sins. You've been totally forgiven, completely. Colossians 2:13 says that God has forgiven us all our transgressions, talking about Christians. But then Jesus also knows that if you're a Christian in this world, you're still in a battle with sin. And God wants his followers to come to him continually and to confess when we do sin and to turn away from it, to agree with God that our sin is not pleasing to him and that we want to change and grow, to have this open relationship where we confess our sins to God, to say, God, I've sinned against you. I need your forgiveness today. A Christian's not going to be perfect in this life, and that's what that verse reminds us of, that we need to be repenting when we sin every day. And Christians are also going to be forgivers of others. We see that there in verse 4. We don't hold grudges, but we're forgiving as God's forgiven us. And then Jesus knows us so well with those last few words. He says, lead us not into temptation. He knows that if you're a Christian in this world, you're going to face difficult things. You're going to face the temptation to sin. You're going to face evil around you, and you need God in your life every day, depending on him to protect you from evil. And God wants you to come to him in that dependence, praying to him for forgiveness, praying to him for protection, praying to him for what he provides. I think it's kind of helpful if you don't know what to pray as a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, just to kind of get to know those verses there. It's not that this is all we can ever pray. It's not that you just need to memorize this and repeat it again and again. But here we kind of see what God wants for our life as a Christian, how we can be growing in prayer, what we can prioritize in this life as important when we pray. I wonder how different your life would look like this coming year, a year from now, if you started to pray these things as a Christian. If you started to pray these things every day, worshiping God for how holy and awesome he is, focusing your heart on him and what he wants, on his kingdom, depending on him, asking him for what he gives, thanking him for what he provides, asking him for forgiveness for your sins, and asking him for protection from the evil around you. God wants that for your life as a Christian this year. And Jesus gives us a really simple pattern in those few verses. Maybe some verses to circle if you do that to your Bible or highlight, to kind of get to know those few verses, encouragements, and really a pattern for prayer. So Jesus gives us a pattern for prayer, but then Jesus also gives us some encouragement to pray. That's what we see in verses 5 all the way through verse 13. Jesus gives us the pattern, but then here he gives us encouragement to pray. And he tells us some sort of parables there or some illustrations to help us understand that. He starts with this funny story in verse 5. It's about a guy who stops at his neighbor's house, and it's midnight, and he's asking for 3 loaves of bread. Some of you think that sounds awesome. You're like, I would love to eat at midnight. I'd love to go get some Taco Bell in the middle of the night with a friend. But this isn't a good situation there. This man is not happy about his friend coming over and asking for food. And verse 7, he says, don't bother me. The door has been shut and my children are in bed and I cannot get up and give you anything. He's annoyed and he doesn't want him to bother him. I always think of when I think of this, a friend who I knew growing up, and He lived right down the street. I'd go to his house sometimes, almost all the time, in probably fifth and sixth grade. I remember it pretty well. I'd go over to his house, and his little sister was always there. She was always kind of wanting to hang out with us or play a game with us. She was always kind of knocking at the door to his room, and every time she did, he'd always say, "Go on. Go on, Hannah." Her name was Hannah. He'd say, "Go on, Hannah," which I always thought was kind of a weird thing to say, but he just meant, "Go on, leave me alone. Go the other direction. Get out of here. You're annoying me," which was probably not very nice. I think that's kind of what's happening here. This is the neighbor saying, "Go on, leave me alone. You're annoying me. I don't want you around." But what Jesus is saying here is that this grumpy neighbor, even if he doesn't help the man because he's his friend, he's still going to help him if he's persistent and he keeps on knocking and he's bold and he's confident and he keeps on asking. If we think about this annoyed neighbor helping out a friend, if he bugs him that much, how much more will God, who's perfect and never annoyed, never grumpy, who loves you perfectly, who created you and made you, who cares about you so deeply, how much more will he be ready to help you when you come to him? God's never going to say, "Go on, get out of here." God wants you to come to him. These verses are plain and simple an encouragement for you to seek God. Jesus says in verse 9, we are to keep on asking and it will be given. We're to keep on seeking from God and we will find. We're to keep on knocking and he will open the door. That's telling us God wants us to come to him and depend on him, to come to him in faith and to come to him in boldness. Now, that doesn't mean you're asking God for like whatever you want and God's going to answer it. It doesn't mean you're going to go say, like, "God, I really want brand new clothes, like an entirely new closet. Or God, I want a brand new Nintendo Switch too. It'd be really great." It's not saying that. But Jesus is talking instead about having those prayers that he mentioned in that pattern above, to keep coming to him in worship, keep coming to him in need for the things you need in your life. Jesus loves to answer that kind of prayer. He loves when you cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. God wants you to bring all your needs to him, all your concerns, all your spiritual needs before his throne. He loves to answer those things. And Jesus tells us another story to help us see that in verse 11. He asks, what kind of father, when asked by his son for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Verse 12, or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? We know the answer to that. Of course not. What kind of dad is going to give his son who's asking for something good, like breakfast, like some scrambled eggs? He's not going to give him a scorpion or a snake. We know that even sinful dads don't do that. Even human dads don't give their kids bad things. They give them what they need and what they ask for. And we can think again, how much more will God give you what you need if you ask? How much more ready, how much more happy is God to give you what you need? How much more happy is God to hear you praying to him? Verse 13, if you being evil, meaning like being a sinner, like all people, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is perfect in goodness. He's the perfect Father. And that means he might not give us everything we think we need, but God will give us what we need. And he wants us to depend on him, to pray to him. Sometimes the answer might be no to some of the things that we think we need, but God's going to give us exactly what we do. Sometimes he may take a long time to answer your prayers like you think he should answer it, but we can trust that he is going to give you exactly the good gift that you need as you ask him according to his will. Jesus even says at the end there in verse 13 that he would give his Holy Spirit. That's the greatest gift that's ever been given, and he has given that to Christians. We find that out later after Jesus ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit is with every Christian. God, the Holy Spirit, is with you if you're a Christian, and he's there to comfort you and strengthen you and sanctify you and give you power and to lead you and to produce change and fruit in your life. There's no greater gift than that. And if you're a Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit in your heart. God's given that gift to his children. So Jesus here tells us how to pray, kind of a pattern to pray. And then he just encourages us to actually do the praying, to come to a God who wants us to come to him. God wants you to seek him. He wants you to come to him in prayer. That's a good reminder for us, I think, as we start a new year. And you might know as we go into another year that you don't pray. Not only do you not pray, you have no relationship with God the Father. You might know that you have a broken relationship with him because of your sin. You know you're lost in your sins. You have no peace with God. You have no hope with God because of your sin. If that's you today, you need to go to God in prayer. You need to communicate with him. You need to seek him, to call out to him. You need to come to him and come and ask that he would wash your sins away, that he would forgive you by the work of Jesus on the cross. You need to talk to him, to communicate with him and confess your sins and look to Jesus who can wash all your sins away. You need to speak to God and tell them that you trust in him and that you believe in him as your Savior and your Lord. You need to have your relationship with God made right through Jesus. I think that would be the best way for you to start off a new year. And if you are a Christian, these, again, are just kind of some simple verses. And what I want to leave with you is an encouragement for you to be somebody who prays, to keep going in praying, to persevere, to keep at it, even when it might not feel so easy for you as a Christian. Be a middle schooler who prays. Jesus says it here, it doesn't have to be long and complicated. He gives us some help and to know what to care about and to prioritize, to keep on coming to your Father, to worship him, to seek him, to depend on him, to rely on him for your forgiveness of sins, and to ask for his protection in this life. God wants you to come to him in prayer. It's the last Sunday of 2025 today, and with this year ahead, I wonder what it's going to look like for you. My encouragement, and really Jesus' encouragement here, is for you to be a person who prays, to have a relationship with your Father and to seek him and get to know him and worship him and get closer with him this year. It's amazing to think about what God could do in your life if you become somebody who starts to develop a habit of praying even now. It says in Romans that God can do beyond anything that you ask or think in your life as a Christian. I want to encourage you to pray big this year, to seek God, to get to know him better as a middle schooler who prays. All right, let's pray to him even now. God, we thank you so much that you love us, that you want to hear from us, and that you even give us help to know what it looks like to be a Christian who prays. Thank you, God, that you give us encouragement to pray even here. You want us to seek you, and I pray that each of the students in this room would have a right relationship with you, that they would come and get to know you better, through hearing from you in your word and through responding to you in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and our time together. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.